Close to 2:30. I think we still would like one more. Is that Mike McDaniel? Are you sitting in with for someone? Okay, you're muted.
Hey, yes, Craig. I'm with Craig Dunaway with DARS or WWE.
Okay. Yeah, now that Luke is here, we do have a quorum.
There's Luke. Okay. All right.
So if you want to go ahead and get started, we'll see if Steve Rosenberg and Jennifer join. They're the only two.
Great. Well, thank you all. I'm Karen Clark, and Terry is not available today, so I am sitting in, and we'll try to maneuver us through today's agenda, but as we all know, Devin is the ultimate puppet master here, so she's given us great directions. So we will call the meeting to order, and we will also start by asking if there are any public comments for today's meeting. Don't think we have anybody logged in for the public comments, so we will move forward. The minutes, Devin sent the minutes out. Anybody have any questions, comments, or edits for the minutes? Or if not, would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I approve.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So we will accept the minutes as submitted.
Who was that second? Sorry.
Luke.
Ah, Luke.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll move right on into our business. As you will see, the first agenda item is the election of the chair and the vice chair, which are three-year terms. In 2018, Terry started her current term as chair, and I ended up taking the place of Lisa Klein, who was vice chair at that point. So for today, Devin has already checked with Terry, and she would be agreeable to continue to serve as chair. However, if there are other individuals on our team today that would like to serve in a chair or vice chair capacity, certainly we would welcome if anyone's interested in assuming those roles to let us know today. I thought he was going to raise his hand, but yeah, we do this at my house too. So
I will take a moment just to kind of give you all a brief overview of what the chair and vice chair kind of do. So like Karen said, it's a three-year term, and the officers will assume their duties on July 1st, and those duties include working with the PDC to develop meeting agendas, preside over the meetings, be eligible to vote on the issues, perform duties from time to time that are assigned by the BTAC. You may establish some special committees as deemed desirable to complete specific projects. And the vice chair, just in the absence or inability of the chairperson to perform those duties, will exercise the powers of the chairperson. And according to the bylaws, the chair and vice chair can be reappointed for no more than one additional consecutive term. So like Karen said, they can have their consecutive roles, or you all can shake things up if you so wish.
But be advised, in 3 years, you can't put your finger on your nose, so.
So Karen, are you agreeable to serving as vice again?
Sure. This is such a difficult position, but I think I can suffer through an additional 3 years. Devin is fantastic, and Terry is so consistent. Sometimes when Devin reaches out, I'm like, oh yeah, forgot I'm supposed to do that. Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll make a motion to nominate Terry as the chair and Karen as the vice chair.
Second.
Okay. I second that if we need to. Second.
Seconds. Any objections? Okay, Devin, are we good to go on that agenda item then?
We are good to go. Terry will probably be delighted to hear she's still the chair.
Okay, moving on to our next item, which is the Stanton Hub. We've got both Bonnie and Ann on the call today, so I know one of you ladies is going to give us an update on the Stanton Hub.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Karen. It's good to see you all. I haven't been on a BTAC meeting in quite some time, so it's good to see everybody, and there's some new faces too. I'd like to give you an update on what we call the Stanton Hub or the Bright Transit Hub. It's on Lewis Street. We have just purchased, the PVC has just purchased that property. It was owned by American Shakespeare Center. They approached us when they wanted to sell the property, which they've owned for the last 15 or 20 years. And we were delighted that they reached out to us first rather than putting it on the market, because this piece of property is critical to the Bright Transit system. We closed on the property on April the 20th. It's a 2-acre property. It's located at 240 North Lewis Street in downtown Stanton. It has been leased by the city of Stanton as a parking lot. And as you know, it serves as a linchpin for the Bright Transit system, where four buses and the downtown trolley meet each hour on the hour to make changes and switches and transfer passengers. It anchors the 250 connector on the western end and the BRCC shuttle on the southern end. A couple of notes on that. Let me see. Where did I put those? Okay. Here we go. Prior to the pandemic, passenger counts confirmed 2,286 riders accessed or departed a bus at this location during a one-week period. So you can see how critical and how widely used this particular transit hub is. The city of Stanton has confirmed that they will continue to lease the portion of the property that they use for public parking, with those lease payments directed to the CSPDC. Routine maintenance, such as snow removal, trash pickup, and utilities, will continue to be provided by the city of Stanton at no cost to CSPDC and Bright. So we're delighted that we can now continue to use that transit hub as an essential part of the Bright Transit. So I'm glad to answer any questions that anybody has about this particular acquisition.
That's great news. Does anyone have any questions for Bonnie on that acquisition?
When do we get a downtown Waynesboro hub is the only question.
Okay. You find one for us, we'll do that. I think that's in the works in some degree. Also, we'll be making some improvements to that site. The pavement is in not the best of conditions. There's some potholes there and that sort of thing. So we will, over the course of the next year or so, we will be making some improvements to that site.
Great, Bonnie. Excellent. We'll move on now. Devin, I believe you've got an update for us on the draft 6-year improvement plan.
Yes, I do. So the draft 6-year improvement plan was released and is available for public comment. The CSPDC applications recommended for funding include the urban operating and capital cost of contracting, as well as the rural operating and capital cost of contracting. The technical assistance grant for the transit development plan, as well as commuter assistance program operating funds for rideshare. So I believe that goes to the CTB for a vote in June, but I'll let Stephen clarify anything that I might have missed.
Can everybody hear me? I was having some issues on the phone or on the computer audio, so... everything looks like it is going to move forward at the June 16th CTB meeting for approval. The CTB had directed DRPT to focus on state of good repair issues and rolling stock to try to keep everything going during pandemic operations. So that was why there was one item that was not approved to move forward in the applications. Anybody have any questions?
Okay, Devin, does that take us on to the Afton Express then?
Yes, it does. So the Afton Express has a planned start date of September the 1st, and the first bus has been purchased, and it should be arriving later this week. So we'll be working with Hive Creative and Trim Tech for the bus decal implementation. Staff also has its first marketing plan meeting scheduled for next week, and that will include CSPDC staff, myself, Rachel Salatin, our marketing coordinator, and Nancy Gorley. And we'll also be working with TJPDC staff, Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, their transportation demand management program manager, and UVA staff. They have a representative from their transportation and parking department that will be joining us. So these meetings will help facilitate marketing that service and finalizing operations prior to the September 1st start date.
Very exciting. We'll get a new bus, but no gas.
Exactly.
Okay. Our next item has to do with TRIP, the Transit Ridership Incentive Program. And Anne, I think you have a report for us on this.
I do. Thank you, Karen, and everybody. We wanted to let you know that we are following along with this new DRPT program, TRIP. And when they come out with the call for applications and that later this summer, we are likely going to apply for a grant to have a period of time, probably about 2 years, where we can make both Bright and Afton Express fare free. That is our hope. So the TRIP program was created in the 2020 General Assembly session. And it's pretty well funded, $25 million statewide for fare-free initiatives, as well as some other things like creating interregional connectivity. But we certainly would, we think, be strong candidates for the fare-free program, and that is something that DRPT and a lot of transit agencies around the state were interested in before the pandemic. As we understand it, the program was put on hold because of COVID, but the past year has also given transit agencies and DRPT really an opportunity to evaluate what being fare-free means, because almost everybody went fare-free with their CARES Act money and just a desire not to have that additional hardship on folks riding transit during the pandemic. So we'll be focused on that when that call for applications comes out. As we understand it, the timeline would be, again, that we would apply in August or September and find out whether we would receive that grant in time to put together our budget for FY23. So, you know, what that means is that we're going to continue to be fare free through the end of this fiscal year. Our budget for FY22 is that we will go back to charging fares, and we are going to stick with that. That is how our budget works for this coming fiscal year in terms of having all the local maps that we need. But if we're successful with the TRIP application and that two-year program, then we'll roll that out sometime in either calendar 2022 or FY23, depending on how DRPT phases that funding in.
Great. That's a wonderful initiative to be working on, so that
so we can move forward on that.
Any questions for Ann on her presentation?
I have a quick question. This is Jennifer. So the grant, the Fair Free grant, would be going towards the local match that is currently being collected as fares.
Fair revenue comes off the top of the program, so we account for that, and then from there we figure out what we need from our federal, state, and local partners. So,
okay. So the grant would replace the fares technically, because you're keeping track of who's riding in order to draw down the funds. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on fares? All right, Devin, I believe we're back to you with the ITS Phase 1 implementation.
Yes. So staff is initiating the kickoff of ITS Phase 1 with consultant Kimberly Horn. So we're looking to move forward with the procurement and implementation of ITS, specifically Mobile Data Collection Center, Mobile Data Collection System. On the Bright Buses. So Ann and I are working with Kimberly Horn, and that's the same consultant that completed the ITS plan back in 2017, if you can remember that far back. But we'll be working to develop that scope of work and cost estimate for their assistance with the procurement and installation process, because they have a lot more knowledge on those systems than we do, and we will make sure to keep you all updated as this progresses more.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Steve, how about our contractor update?
Sure. Let's see if I can tether this radio here. We continue following the mask mandate, and that has been extended. It was supposed to end, It was supposed to have ended yesterday, but they extended it through September 13th. So we will see. We still have masks available. We still are requiring folks boarding the bus to wear the mask. So that's been going fairly well. So also the 50% occupancy that we moved to is doing well. A lot less leaving folks behind and stuff, and a lot less calls coming in and sharing their thoughts about the capacity issues. So that was certainly beneficial for us overall. Drivers, we're still looking. It is a hot market out there if you got a CDL. So we are looking. We are actually going to effect Sunday, which is the beginning of our pay period. We're going to $15 an hour. We still have a sign-on bonus. So we're hoping to, stir some interest with that. What else do I have on that? So, like I said, driver retention is still an issue. So we've lost a few folks because some folks have moved up into the $19, $20 range. So, but we'll keep going after it. So numbers for last year, see if I can read my cryptic writing here. So we had 14,000 people this year. Last year, that was 10,000. But as projected against 2019, we had 25,000. So we still got about 57% of what I call a good model, which would be 2019. But the folks are coming back. The numbers are increasing, and ridership is up. So that's a good thing, a good trend for us. And also the fuel. I didn't have that on my notes, but I wrote a note about that. The fuel scenario, had a little struggle last night, nothing like that. We just had to run around. Our guy that fuels in the evening was rather busy going around. We've done some, during the day as best we can, but he'll have his hands full again fueling this evening, and hope this goes ahead, in the next few days and quits being such a scenario. I mean, everybody's going by, and we're involving fire and rescue and stuff out here to direct traffic and stuff around this, and somebody gave the example of somebody filling up a huge yellow container on the back of their vehicle and riding down the road with that full of gas. So maybe calmer heads will prevail, and then the gas shortage, whether there is one or not, will dissipate, and we'll be able to get back to whatever's left after that. We'll certainly see some price increases, I imagine, but I don't know how drastic. But summer hours, we adopted this in 2020. Was that right, Devin? We were supposed to implement it in 2020, but we never did implement summer hours for the downtown trolley. But we went ahead and adopted that for this year. That will start the 28th, which is a Friday for Memorial Day. And it adds about 3 hours to the Monday-Friday operation, if I'm reading my notes correctly. And it adds an extra hour to the Saturday night. So we'll be ending at 9 o'clock during the week, and we'll end at 9 p.m. The Saturday trolley and the Saturday night trolley kind of split at 6 o'clock, if you won't notice it unless you know it's happening. But so we still end at 6 o'clock for the Saturday, and then the Saturday night trolley will go till 10 p.m. So we're hoping, you know, positive responses for that.
And just a quick note of clarification, the 2020, what we were going to implement was the extra hour on the Saturday night trolley.
Was the extra hour on Saturday.
We've always had summer hours, but that was just adding an extra hour instead of 9 p.m., 10 p.m.
Okay, so that's what I have on that. The Myers Corner, let's flip over my notes here. Myers Corner, we've got, you know, still contractors. So while they were out there, I guess they probably had somebody come out to paint the lines and do a check in the area. They came across either a power line or some kind of communications line. So they have not had the opportunity to dig down to see the depth of that, to see what would affect any concrete work or digging in that area. So we are kind of waiting on them to make that evaluation and let us know and move forward. It may come to a thing where we have to go out and reassess the area and pick a different spot, but right now we're still hopeful that we can utilize the original area we talked about. So nothing else going on. Busy. I'm learning new tricks this week. I've got a few folks out, so that's always a good thing. Trial by fire. So
thanks, I think
that's all I've got, so thank y'all.
I'm just curious. We are running the vaccine clinic here on campus. I don't know if that has impacted any of the flow of patients in our direction, but certainly we welcome, if you can bring them in by the busloads, we're happy to get a needle in arms.
We can. If they're standing out there, we'll bring them there. We don't ask what they're doing, but we'll certainly bring them in. So I asked somebody today if you still had the clinic over there, physical therapy, and they said you still did. So
it's on one of our tennis courts. It is still open. We've even had some after hours clinics of late. We intend to keep that clinic running. So if you have people that you work with or your ridership, we're wanting come one, come all.
Yeah, I'm hoping folks that are hesitant will, you know, at some point just kind of cave and say, I'm going to do this, you know. So
we will welcome them.
Yes.
Okay. So that was it for Steve's update. Does anyone have any other business that they want to bring forth today? We do have our next meeting scheduled for July 14th. Hopefully it'll be a little bit warmer and we won't need our hats to ward off the frost. that should still be by Zoom. Devin and I were speaking before the meeting. I mean, it'd be lovely if by fall we could see each other in person, but thankfully we've got the technology to keep working. So if no one else has anything. Devin, anything else that we need to include today?
No.
A rather brief meeting at 24 minutes. Like I said, this is a very difficult job.
You all are very efficient.
Okay, well, thanks all. Hope you can enjoy the sunshine this afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you in July.
Great work, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Devin, do you have a second?
Yes, I do.
I'll just stay on for a second.
Certainly. I was making sure I stopped the recording. And
I was just confused. So, I thought Mike Kelly was in for Greg Dunaway, but then Mike McDaniel, I thought, said he was in for Greg Dunaway.
Yes. So what that what happened was when Russ retired, they also did a reshuffling at DARS. Oh, hang on one second.